Lisa, how you doing?
I'm well.
The French Connection with Daryl Bradford Smith.
Ofala presents its famous full month Ramadan package with traditional South.
The French Connection with Daryl Bradford Smith.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to the French Connections Tuesday night edition. Today's date is the 16th day of June 2009. Of course, it's great again to have all of the listeners across the world listening to this most important broadcast. I have two eminent guests, two honorable guests to bring up in just a moment here. One of them is already online, and my engineer is attempting to raise the second. But before we get to them, I wanted to bring up a couple of things that we're going to be discussing today. One of them is how it is that an organization or organizations sponsored by a single group of people, and those people. Now we're going to start out with a disclaimer here, because of course this is important stuff, and so we have to define terms. The people we'll be discussing tonight have, in my view and in the view of research, been involved in activities that are against the Republic of the United States. And many instances of the world at large. Now, many of them come from the Jewish community, not all of them. And many of them are declared Jews, not all of them. But the conspiracy itself at the top is predominantly from what we call a Zionist political ideology. And it is important to make these distinctions because, again, all Jews are not involved in this. And certainly when we look at these facts, we do not want to slander or destroy a good, hardworking, loving, caring people in this world. We want to only key into the people who are guilty of what I have discovered and what many people have discovered are criminal actions that have devastated our world. I'm going to start out with a quote from the ex-prime minister of Italy, and he was speaking to the Corriere della Sera, and his name is Francesco Cossiga. And what he writes and what he said on the 13th of December in 2001, he said, from circles around Palazzo Chigi, nerve center of direction of the Italian intelligence, it is noted that the non-authenticity of the video is testified from the fact that Osama bin Laden in its confessed that Al-Qaeda was the author of the attack of 11 September on the Twin Towers in New York, while all of the democratic circles of America and Europe in the front lines, being those of the Italian center left, know well that the disastrous attack was planned and realized by the American CIA and Mossad, with help from the Zionist world, to put under accusation the Arabic countries and to persuade the Western powers to intervene in Iraq and Afghanistan. Now, Mr. Cossiga was also involved in intelligence in Italy and knows well what from whence he speaks. So that is the beginning of a volley that I'm going to actually throw out there. But we have other issues. We have issues such as the USS Liberty. We have issues like the Levant affair. We have issues like Cobalt Towers. We have issues like spying through APEC and its agents. We have payoffs being given to Congress people, extortion used. We know this is happening in both Britain, France, America, and countries around the world. We have murderous activities in Palestine being propagated. We also have a silent press on most of these issues, if not all of them. So from this standpoint and from this position, it is important to note, ladies and gentlemen, that the people that are doing these things to us are working with a network powerful enough to silence the world's press, and also powerful enough to stay out of a courtroom or under pressure from civil authorities. So my guest tonight, and I hope the second guest will be brought up quite quickly, her name is, of course, Cynthia McKinney. She was a congresswoman, an author, 12 years in Congress, worked very diligently for her constituency in Georgia, but also worked hard for the truth and asked questions in Congress that people actually scattered from. I remember watching in awe as she asked questions of people in Congress, including representatives of the military departments, where monies had gone, where had these events taken place, and she demanded answers. And interesting that she was keyed into, no, not interesting, it was not a surprise to anybody who's done the research, but she was keyed into by these Zionist forces to be removed from office, and they successfully did it once. She returned to Congress, and then they successfully removed her once again. So she has been in the trenches for a very long time. My second guest, who I hope will be brought up soon, is, of course, Representative Paul Findley, who spent 22 years in the Congress and wrote several books, including one about Islam. One of them that I'd like to give you the details on, many of you already know, is called Confronting America's False Image, Silent No More. It's the false image of Islam, ladies and gentlemen, and he had great experiences with the Islamic communities of the world and found the people to be family-orientated, kind, and generous to a fault. And I'm going to bring up my guest right now, Cynthia McKinney. Are you with me, Cynthia?
Yes, I'm with you.
Well, Cynthia, you know, there was a long introduction there, and I brought up a lot of things, but I know you recently were in the Middle East bringing foodstuffs and aid to the Palestinian population under siege, and you had an opportunity firsthand to see the hospitality and kindness exhibited from the public, the Islamic world. You want to share a little bit about those experiences and what kind of feelings that you had when you met some of these folks?
Well, first of all, I have a correction to make, and that, well, I did get to the Middle East, but I didn't get to my destination. One day after the bombs began to fall on Gaza from Israel's Operation Cast Lead, I received a phone call that night, actually, the night of the first bombing sorties, and I was asked, would you be willing to go to Gaza tomorrow? And I said, yes. And so I flew to Cyprus, and from Cyprus we boarded a boat, and the boat had 3 tons of medical supplies. And also 3 physicians who were willing to volunteer their time and skills to help the people. And in the middle of the night, we were surrounded by Israeli warships, and one of them rammed us, trying to kill us. And the boat was severely damaged, was taking on water. We didn't have enough fuel to return to Cyprus, and the Israelis threatened us and said, well, if you don't turn around and go back to Cyprus, we are going to fire on you. And we didn't have enough fuel to get back to Cyprus. And so we were in international waters at the time. Such an attack is a war crime. And so, long story short, we never made it to Gaza, and we had to take the medical supplies and give them back to the people of Cyprus who had donated them. But this coming weekend, I'm trying again, by boat, going from the territorial waters of Cyprus directly to the international waters, to the territorial waters of Gaza. We hope to get in, and it will be my first trip ever to Palestine.
Well, you have had some experience at least investigating another assault that happened on June 8th back in 1967, which was the USS Liberty. And, of course, as the Congress of that time, which I hope to ask Representative Findley when we get him, I hope he got the times right when we discussed this broadcast tonight, because there's no pickup on his phone at the moment. But the interesting thing, Cynthia, is that we had 34 sailors killed and 172 of them injured. And they were told in no uncertain terms that they were not allowed to talk about that at the threat of death In fact, many of the sailors said that they were threatened with the ultimate consequence if they spoke out. But they turned around and gave these same sailors all kinds of awards and medals. Now, that also was an act of war. It also took place in international waters. It also took place on an American warship, which should have brought us into a direct conflict with the Israelis. What is your take after having looked into this whole event?
Well, the Israelis lied several times when, in the aftermath of our attack, one of the miscalculations they made was that not only did we have Al Jazeera on board with us, but we also had CNN. Now, the interesting thing was that the CNN reporter was arguing with CNN headquarters because CNN headquarters wanted to lie. They wanted to repeat the lies that the Israelis were putting out, first lie being they didn't know who we were. Well, they might not have known who we were. That's not true, because they told us over the boat radio, go back to Larnaca. So if they didn't know who we were, they knew where we had come from. So they knew who we were. And, in fact, not only had the Israeli military been alerted not only to our route, but who was on board and what we carried. They knew exactly who we were. The second lie that they told was that it was our fault the captain actually rammed them, and that their warship had sustained some damage. That of course was a lie. And if you can imagine that in between bouts of seasickness, the CNN reporter is arguing with the headquarters about, you know, these various iterations of lies coming from the Israelis. The third lie they put out, they actually put it in writing, and it was issued from the Israeli consulate in Atlanta, stating that it was my fault that the entire episode took place, because I convinced the young people who are the activists of the Free Gaza movement to go into a war zone. So,
this is interesting, Cynthia. There's no war declared in that region at that time. There's no war except as an occupation, but there is no declaration of war by standards of Geneva that's been declared against the Palestinians. So there was no war zone that they were going into. In fact, what they are doing is going into an occupied area. Isn't that correct?
That's exactly correct. And what we were doing was asserting the rights of the Palestinians over their own territorial waters. But we were not even in the Gaza territorial waters. We were in international waters at the time, as is exactly the case with the USS Liberty. And the interesting thing is that just as the Israelis lied in our case, the Israelis lied in that case as well, saying that they didn't recognize the ship. And, of course, the veterans have recounted the story numerous times, and I'm sure even on your show, they told how the flag was flying and the size of the ship. And, you know, all of the identifiers were there, so there's no excuse for them. It's an outright lie for them to say that they didn't know it was an American ship. They said that they got it confused with an Egyptian ship. And then if you compare the sizes of the Egyptian ship versus the American ship, you know that that's also a bold-faced lie. And so that the Israelis will lie to cover up an action that they have carried out that they deem in their national interest is nothing new.
Well, it's questionable whether it's in the national interest of the people living in that country, because most of these actions are actually described to their public falsely and fraudulently. But what I'd like to know now from you is how could let me just
also say this, though. But the case of the USS Liberty is that you're absolutely right when you say that, because the USS Liberty, the Israelis were murdering people in Egypt. And so they were afraid that there were going to be some witnesses to the murder.
That's right.
In the interest of the individuals who were in charge of that Israeli government, and that has always been the case. I have to believe that the vast number of majority of the people in Israel are peace-loving people who want to live in peace side by side with their Palestinian Muslim brothers and sisters. I have to believe that, or at least I hope to believe that. I hope to be able to believe that. But unfortunately, the leaders of Israel have for the most part, been war criminals.
Well, but let's go into the fact that the populations have been poisoned against the truth and poisoned against the population, and here they're acting out of hatred that has been installed into them from birth, that they are a superior people, and that they are God's chosen people, and this is part of the indoctrination process where they have superior rights to those sitting beside them that are not from their beginnings. But let's talk a little bit about the United States now for a minute. How could it be that an American ship of war in international waters could have been attacked the way it was, and the American public and the American government take no action against it? What kind of power would an organization influencing America have to have in order to carry such a cover-up out?
Well, it would have to have the kind of power that is met or unmet with an equal and opposing power. And so at the end of the day, the reason these things happen is because on the other side, there is no opposing power.
Okay.
Once we have organized ourselves and mobilized enough, a critical mass of the American people, such that there is an opposing power, then I think the correctness of our position, which is based on U.S. national interest, which is based on the objective principles of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, that our side will prevail in policy.
Well, let's talk for a minute about some of the people who are presently influencing our country. Just in the one event of 9/11, we've got people such as Mr. Lauder, who was one of the founders of the modern Israeli Mossad University in Herzliya. He donated large sums of money for the building of this very important spy center, but he was also instrumental in getting the head of the Port Authority, Louis Eisenberg, to make the sale to Mr. Lowy and Mr. Silverstein. So what we have, of course, is collusion between these groups. But see, it doesn't stop there. It goes on to companies that are watching our airports from Boston and Newark, named ICTS Huntley International, owned by former Mossad active spies, by the children of the founder of the Mossad, a woman's children. She was part of the Mossad. And you go on and on. It goes into Daniel Lewin and Jules Krall and Jerome Hauer and Indigo Systems and Goldman Sachs making money on it. In other words, we can go down the list of one thing after another. Mohammed Atta being both sides of his apartment in Florida, having Israelis living in it. A Zim moving company with bombs. Material inside their vans. We have, the stuff goes, how about three Israelis that go back on television in Israel saying that they were the dancing Israelis arrested on 9/11, but they were there to document the event. Now, how would they know in advance that there would be an event to document? And go on and on and on. And see, when we do this, when we look at this, what we start to find out is people within our government, such names like Dov Zolkaim, who is a Shabbat Lubavitch rabbi, and Ari Fleischer, and Faith Wormser, all of these people are actually a fifth column that has invaded our control structure of our government. And they are involved in strong-arming Congress, and they are in complete control of the executive branch. Now, how do we get this kind of crime gang unclinched from our control, from the control?
Well, people have to stand up. First of all, people have to be educated. On one of the points that you made, though, I would like to say that I heard an extraordinary given by Lord Levy, I believe is his name, who is in the House Lords in the UK House of Lords. And the language that he used was it absolutely incredible. But basically he said that only 3% of the Israeli people voted for peace, and therefore they weren't worth very much. And he called Israel an indefensible state, as well as the people who voted for Kadima and Labor and all of the war parties. And I had not heard, of course, being in the United States, we don't hear that kind of talk at all. And
no.
This was a Jewish member of the House of Lords saying this, and someone who has always been a supporter of Israel, but to this day, he says, after that election, Israel has to go in a different direction, and at this point, he can't support Israel. It was an amazing, amazing speech.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you bring that up, because what we find here is that the support is eroding worldwide. America's recent poll says that 77% a year ago supported the actions of Israel. Today, 44% do, and I believe it's probably even less than that. But we see very powerful positions being taken up by Zionists, people who claim to be very connected to, in many cases, their dual citizen Israelis, people like Judge Alvin Hellerstein, who has been blocking the 9/11 families from ever getting justice. But they put, of course, they put him in charge. They put people like Michael Chertoff in charge of the Justice Department, and now, of course, McCuskey. And you can go on and on. And then this Rabbi Dov Zollkaim, whose business it was to build and sell worldwide controlled plane systems, where you could remotely control an aircraft, and those planes were by very competent pilots described as impossible to have maneuvered unless they were under a remote control. And what we do is, when we look at all this stuff, Cynthia, what we come to the conclusion of is that the control that these people are exerting in the world is almost impossible for us at this point to dislodge. Now, that doesn't mean we won't ultimately be successful, but their control is almost complete in many instances. Am I being fair to make that observation?
I think it is clear that I wouldn't say that it is impossible to dislodge the support that they've been able to accumulate, but it will take a modest amount of hard work in order to do it, and we have to have uncompromised organizations. But basically, you name it, from the so-called anti-peace, anti-war movement in the United States to many aspects of the, you know, women's movement. And if you just look at the finance, who finances these organizations, you find that they begin compromised positions. And so that's why you have the phenomenon of a Barack Obama, whom everyone presumed was going to be anti-war, because the black community in the United States is overwhelmingly anti-war. And he is not anti-war, and in some cases the activists have begun to call him Bushism without Bush.
Yes, he's Bush too. But interesting, though, see, when you look at the administrations of both of these presidents, Barry Soweto's presidency as well as George Bush's presidency, what you find is that throughout their organization, they are completely and utterly controlled by Jewish interests. Now, let's define terms here for a moment. America's population of Jews is only 2%. When you took a look at George Bush's administration, it was 70-plus percent Jewish. Now, the same statistics can hold with Mr. Soweto's group, and here's the interesting part. Well, his name on his birth certificate was Barry Soweto, so I'm going to go with that. But Barack Obama is what he calls himself today. But interesting, when you take a look at this whole conspiracy that we have all uncovered, many of us. There's millions of us around the world that know these facts. But when we look at it, Cynthia, what we do find is that this group is got a stranglehold on the executive branch. And many instances, they act without regard to the law, especially with these
but
executive
now,
orders.
You mentioned his birth certificate, which is a big issue here in the United States. Have you
yes.
seen it?
Yes.
And so now it's my understanding that the name was Sotero,
yes, Barry Sotero,
yes.
Soweto.
Yes, okay. Now, how have you seen it and no one else has seen it?
I haven't seen
because
it. Well,
I would like to see.
Well, the birth of this man was actually described by his family in Kenya. So that's where
yes,
it's coming from.
Yes, I understand.
From.
The grandmother.
The grandmother gave a first-person account of it, so I'm going from her first-person account, and that was given rather freely and openly to a group of people. So it's been documented that she made the statements. Now, we have not seen the documents themselves, but what we have seen is a very close family member making the statements that I made. So the other side of it also is this. That would make him ineligible to be president, which
absolutely.
Yes. But see, we're not. We shouldn't even go down that road because we're not facing anything close to that at the moment. Even with all the challenges that are trying to be made, what I am more interested in is finding out how people like Rahm Emanuel and Napolitano and some of these others that have clear connections to world Zionism could be ensconced in the executive branch, acting with impunity against constitutional doctrine.
Well, you know, you ask the questions that not enough people inside this country are asking, and they don't ask the questions because they don't have the information, and it's your responsibility, my responsibility, to make sure that they do have the information, and that's why I've launched the organization called Dignity. And I hope to be able to educate people as you are doing now with your show.
Well, we're going to take a break for our sponsors here, Cynthia, and we'll be right back after these messages from our most important sponsors.
As some wonder at the beauty of winter, others face the chilling reality. Once again, winter has made itself at home, and thousands are left to face this harsh season in utter destitute. With only 80 rand a blanket or 250 rand a winter warmth pack, you can help Africa Muslims Agency assist those in need this winter. Contact Africa Muslims Agency on 011-834-8685 or 6, or make your contribution online at africamuslimsagency.co.za. Africa Muslims Agency, the agency that cares.
Durban International Fair Lifestyle India, now bigger and better. From the 12th to 21st June at the Durban Exhibition Centre, from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. daily, with lots of entertainment. Variety of products from India, Pakistan, Dubai and Egypt. Don't miss out on the bargains of the year. See you at the Durban International Fair, 12th to 21st June at the Durban Exhibition Centre. Entry fee only 10 rand.
How are you doing?
I'm well. Just this cold getting me down.
Yes, it's definitely winter time again. I always wonder if we can't take the cold with all our jackets and warm clothes. Imagine what those less fortunate feel like.
That's true, but don't despair. SANZIF, the MSA, and CII are embarking on a winter warm initiative.
Really? So how can I help?
Well, you can help by contributing just 50 rand sadaqa that will go towards a tracksuit for a needy child.
That sounds like a great initiative. I think I'll do that right away.
What about you? Will you help a needy child this winter? Support this initiative and donate only 50 rand towards an underprivileged school child by calling 0861-SANZAF. That's 0861-726-923.
The Winter Warm Initiative is brought to you by CII, SANZAF and DMSA.
Hey, what's going on? What
What's gotten all the ladies so excited? Didn't you hear about the luxurious Turkish range of Golden Rose beauty products?
Oh, yes, so that's what it's all about. I've also heard that we can now get them locally.
That is true. All their cosmetic and beauty products are being stocked by CII stores.
And that's not all. If you make a purchase of Golden Rose products worth 250 Rand or more, you get a free makeover from CII Health and Beauty Spa.
I am so excited. I can't wait to get my hands on the range of Golden Rose.
Take advantage of this incredible offer.
Only at CII stores at the Trade Route Mall.
Or call 011-852-0097 for more details.
Terms and conditions apply.
View a wide range of the Golden Rose beauty products, as well as the Ajmal range of perfumes and the Sisters magazine at the annual Hartley Winter Fair between the 26th to 28th June at Hartley Road, Overport, Durban. The newly launched Sisters magazine by Naima B. Roberts is now available from CII stores and can be purchased from any of the following distributors countrywide. Harrismith, Nazreen Asfat, 036-633-2070. Bergville, Quraysha Mullah, 036-448-2019. Escort, Humaira Salaji, 036-352-1453. Denhauser, Amina Mohammadi, 034-621-2511. Get your copy of Sisters now, which has everybody talking.
You're listening to CII, the world's first global Islamic station. CII, it's where the world comes together to share their views. French Connection with Daryl Bradford Smith.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're back, we're back, we're back. You know, one of the problems we're having right now is we may have had a crossed wire with Representative Findlay. He's in a central time zone in the United States, and, of course, my honorable guest, Cynthia McKinney, is on the eastern time zone. And I gave her the 3 o'clock time, and him it's supposed to be 2 o'clock, but I think he might have thought it was at 3 his time, which would explain exactly what we're not being able to raise him on his home phone. So I'm going to hope that we can catch him coming into his room there and catch his phone call. But in the meantime, there are so many issues here that we can bring up with the Congresswoman. And you know, toward the end of this discussion, we're actually going to talk about her new book and whatnot. But some of these issues need to be brought up pretty quickly here. And I'm going to go back to Cynthia right now on a couple of questions. I hope she's so. Cynthia, are you still with me?
Yes, I am.
Good. Well, and one of the things that we're facing here is this financial crash, this looting, if you will, of the American taxpayer, with these never-ending bailouts. They've actually inflated our money supply by 300% by using what I can only describe as the biggest theft in history. But what they're doing is basically writing debt out into the future, which is bankrupting the American public. But it's also being done by forces that are working hand in glove with these same people we've been discussing. And they come from Goldman Sachs, and they come from places like BNP Paribas over here in Europe, and HSBC and other banks. City of London comes to mind. What do you see as the Americans' choice here against the onslaught of this financial debacle?
Well, we have to look at the Obama economics team to understand what's going on with us. There are other countries in the world who have been here before. They have seen this happen, and one of them is Russia. And, well, the Soviet Union to Russia. And the question that I have asked is Barack Obama the equivalent of our Boris Yeltsin, or is he the equivalent of Mikhail Gorbachev? Gorbachev being the president in the last days of the Soviet Union, and Yeltsin being the one in the first days of Russia. But what happened was approximately $300 billion, it's my understanding, was stripped from the people of Russia. They were stripped of their money, and this was the beginning of the creation of the oligarchs. And Larry Summers was a part of that. And you said so much that I want to research more, at least at some point talk about as well, because you mentioned the whole Larry Silverstein cabal. And I think about them as I think about the creation of these oligarchs and the stripping of the patrimony of the people of Russia, because that's what's happening here in the United States.
It's exactly right. And that was, you know, Cynthia, that goes back to the same crime gang, because what we find here is Abramowitz and the rest of them are all from the same template. They're from the same group.
But now just imagine this, that tomorrow it's expected that Obama is going to announce another plan to save the economy of the United States. And the plan is to give even more extraordinary powers to the Federal Reserve. I mean, it is absolutely ludicrous that he's talking about stripping the one aspect of health care in the United States that actually works, and that's Medicare, stripping Medicare of its resources to do what? Pass it on to more oligarchs? I don't know. And what amazes me is that the people are so quiet. The people in the United States are so quiet.
It frightens me also, but do you know something? There's been another effort made, Cynthia, that's been concerted about the dumbing down of America. And what you may not know, but my research has discovered, was that the same group, and I'm going to give you a couple of names here. There are three brothers named the Flexners. The Flexner brothers, three of them. One of them took the road of getting involved in education. I think it was Simon Flexner, if I'm not mistaken. I may be wrong. But he went to Carnegie Mellon and started rewriting the rules about how the nation would educate its children. The second brother got involved in the Rockefeller Institute doing research on vaccines, which we know today are full of poisons such as formaldehyde and mercury and aluminum and other dangerous substances, including live virus. And then the third brother, Bernard, was involved in the founding of Israel. So the three brothers were put in these positions of power, and what they did was they rewrote the rules on America. And, of course, they were also involved we have other groups, like the Jewish family, and again, not all Jews are involved, but the Jewish family Monsanto, involved in this in genetically modifying our foodstuffs. They were also very big in our food slaughtering houses across the country, and they are still involved in that. And my point is this, is that they just didn't assault our political system. They've assaulted our health system. They've assaulted our educational system. They are, and I'm going to give you a quote from Eustace Mullen's book, quoting a statistic back in the 1970s when he wrote the book. Out of 14,000 doctors that were educated in the single year that he did the statistical analysis, 12,000 of them were from the Jewish community. Now, this is from a group of only 2% of the country. Now, what we find is that our health system and our allopathic medical system is terribly under threat as well. More often than not, we are victims of drug companies, and we're being poisoned left, right, and center, but we're also being put fluoride in our water, which has been proven to dumb down people. It knocks off as much as 10% of your intellect. We've got monosodium glutamates in our food causing obesity. We've got problems with hormoned beef, which is causing also obesity. And so what we have here is the killing. It's kind of like they're leading us to the cash cow slaughter and hiving off every extra dime we have and making our lives physically miserable and intellectually bankrupt. And then you have the prostitution rings being run. We have the drug running out of South America and the drug laundering money in the hundreds of billions by the same group. These are all sussed out in proof. I have 100% evidence for all of these accusations, and it's all coming from the same people. How do we accept? This is an onslaught so powerful that unless we wrap our brains around the danger of it all, we're all going to be goners. And I have tried to ring the bell of urgency so often, and yet people, it's difficult to get people to even look at the evidence, Cynthia, even when they know it's there. This is frightening to me. But again, all of these things I just said to you are proven facts that I could guarantee through evidence.
Well, I don't doubt that what you say is true. Then what is our response? I mean, you know, I don't know anything about the Flexner brothers, but I can certainly tell you about the way politics operates in the United States and inside Washington, D.C. There is no lobby that is any stronger than the Israel lobby.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what the testimony of Congressman Finley was going to provide us an insight into how they operated in his election. And he's a 22-year member of Congress. I was a 12-year member of Congress, and they were able to get me twice. I've read the testimony of Gus Savage, who put it in the congressional record, thank goodness, and any of your listeners who is so inclined can go to the congressional record at thomas.loc.gov and just put in Gus Savage or laying out the facts is what his floor statement is called. And he talks about how he was shocked to learn that the New Jersey Garden Club, he's a congressman for Chicago, and the New Jersey Garden Club was giving the maximum PAC contribution to his opponent. And why was the New Jersey Garden Club interested in a House race in Chicago, Illinois? Well, because it was a front for the pro-Israel lobby. And it went on and on and on with these innocuous-sounding names, but at the end of the day, they were not innocuous organizations.
Now, and so this is a concerted effort. Now, is it rank-and-file people, CINEMs, as they're called, working for this group, or are these people actually dual-citizen Israeli intelligence people in some cases? I mean, what is the mix that you've seen? Because they did the same thing to you in your congressional district.
Yes, they did. And afterwards, it's reported that Rahm Emanuel said that, you know, I had to be gotten rid of because I wasn't a team player. They were looking for someone who would vote to continue the funding for war and occupation. And, of course, I was a consistent no vote. For 12 years, I was a no vote. And certainly I was going to be a no vote for war and occupation. And so they selected someone to run against me two times, actually, in the Democratic primary. And then Republicans crossed over and voted for for my opponent. And then afterwards, Ariel Sharon came after the 2002 episode of this. Ariel Sharon came to Georgia to gloat. And then after the 2006 episode of this, and I was the only Democratic member of Congress to lose, and then Rahm Emanuel is reported to have said that, you know, I wasn't a team player. Well, the team that I chose not to get on is a team that's responsible for war crimes, torture, crimes against humanity, crimes against the peace, crimes against the global community, crimes, constitutional crimes against the American people. And I'm proud to have not been a part of that team, but I wish that there could have been some counter movement that would have saved my position so that I could continue to speak out.
Well, but there will be. But you know something, Cynthia, what you're doing right now, I mean, we're talking right now beyond anything you've ever done before. I've listened to all of your interviews. And right now, we're putting the cards on the table here because I think it's time. I think the time, see, everything is about timing. You know that. But life tells me that timing is everything. And right now, I think the world is ready to hear this truth. I think the world is ready to back the right horse. And, you know, you're not only going to be heard here. There's 152 countries that I'm broadcast to, that listen to this, you're going to find a groundswell of people that are becoming informed of these facts by virtue of talking about them in this format. Here's the interesting thing. When we have people such as Rahm Emanuel from the shadows running things, running Barry's administration in Washington and so forth, what we find is that the American public is never served. And of course, now that we see that Congress can be so bought and paid for, I think it's even worse than that, and maybe you'll confirm this. We know that there is extortion that goes on, and that many people in Congress who are elevated, and in your case, this is certainly not true, and in Paul Finley's case, it's not true, but many people that are elevated start out with picadillos or with problems in their character. Many of them, such as Mr. Frank from up in Massachusetts, who had an underage young man living in his home selling himself, unknowingly, the congressman allowed this to happen out of his Georgetown home, and yet, Congress did not act against this man. They not only didn't act, they gave him the lightest sanction possible for him involving himself in pedophilia. Now, that is if that doesn't tell you the power that these people have over our Congress, nothing will. But that's not the only instance. We have the Franklin cover-up, which was proven in a court of law. We have so many events that have taken place in this area that in order to really understand how bad it is, we have to take a look at the more seedy side of things, because that is as prevalent as any of the other stuff.
Yes, you're right that there are things that that compromise the if the members of Congress don't already have the pro-Israel affinity, then they're forced to be silent if they want to remain in office, and that comes through various measures, whether they're compromised because, you know, they might have done something. And many of them, you know, there are some who are intentionally mean-spirited or malevolent or corrupt. But then there are a large number of them who are just nice, average, ordinary people who leave their families back home and end up in Washington by themselves, and they get lonely. And then that's when the trouble begins. And so either their weakness is, you know, wine, women, or money. And that weakness is preyed on. So wine or...
Well, we know that Monica Lewinsky was an operative, and we know that the person that was working for the Republican side was, and we know that, I mean, see, you can go down the list, but we also, when we find out how corrupt everything truly is, and that the American people, I think, do sense how bad it all is, and they're frightened, more frightened of what's to come than what they've got today. And I think when people look at this, you know, I bring it up to family members in America and talk to them about it, and they are on board with these facts. But I know others within my family that I've spoken to that run from it like the plague. They would rather not discuss this at all. I mean, it's almost like if you bring it up, you're touching a third rail of subject matter, because they can't face how bad it really is. They just can't face it, Cynthia.
Well, the interesting thing is that I had a meeting today with Mike Gravel, and he proposes turning U.S. politics completely upside down by giving the power to the people, the power to make laws to the people, and making the people sovereign, and just, you know, getting rid of the republic as we know it. And so... you know, I'm going to look at his proposal for national referendums, and he says that I think it's Switzerland that operates in this manner, and he has a legislative proposal that would be a constitutional amendment. And so I'm going to look at it, and if I'm ever back in Congress again, I will sponsor that legislation.
If you take a look at what the Greeks said about that, though, see, pure democracy always leads to tyranny, especially when these people control the media. And I could go down the list of Levin and the rest of Eisner and all of the Pally and the rest of the same people from our media is 100% controlled, as is Hollywood, by this same group. And if they're making public opinion.
But people are turning away from the discredited special interest media. And only 21% now even get their news, such as it is, from television. They're turning to the Internet. And that's, the next battle is to keep the Internet free so that we can all have access to the information that's there. Of course, we have to educate people where to go on the Internet just, in order to get their information. But we do have the opportunity for no filtering of our message. And, in fact, with my organization, Dignity, we are now working on a television channel on live stream. We've got Facebook and Twitter and all of these things. And I want people to put McKinney and Dignity into their search engines and find us online, sign up with us so that they can hear at least what we have to say and hopefully participate in some of the act of resistance that we hope to be a part of.
Well, I would like to, right after this break, let you talk a little bit about your book, and because this is going to be an important way for people to learn about Cynthia McKinney and give you an opportunity in your own words to share your thoughts and beliefs about what's been going on. And I know that recently you were down in Haiti finishing up, putting the finishing touches on it, and I know it's going to be available quite soon. So I think it's an important thing for my listening audience to hear about. I'd also, if you're willing to maybe want to take a few calls from South Africans that are listening in tonight.
I would love to take calls, but I'm out of time.
You are. Do you want to talk about your book when we come back, or you have to leave now?
I really have to leave, but the book is not yet out, but if people go to Dignity, we are at livestream.com/dignity is our television channel, or contact me directly through allthingscynthiamckinney.com. They can find me.
Well, Cynthia, one of the things that I'm saddest about here is that we were not able to raise, and my engineer has gone into my ear several times, and we're not able to get Paul Findlay online with us, and I'm not sure what the reason is. I'll have to speak to him about that when I do.
I'll come back on alone.
Well, I would like see you've got a huge audience listening to you right now, and as I said, this broadcast is going to be heard by millions. So, what we need to do here is we need to start identifying the groups that we need to investigate. And now, does that mean that everybody in these organizations is guilty? Well, we'd have to wait and see once investigations were underway. But what is clear is that we have to start turning our attention to who the suspects are, so that we can start getting these people out of our lives. And if people are guilty, they need to be brought before a justice system that is not compromised. And of course, that's not our system presently. Our legal system is another nightmarish system of compromised criminality. And we could talk for hours about this. But I want to thank you, Cynthia, for coming on. We didn't complete as many things as I had hoped we would, but we did complete a lot of things. And your presence here is very much appreciated.
Thank you so much, and I look forward to next time.
Thank you, Cynthia. Ladies and gentlemen, Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney, 12 years in Congress, 6 terms, ladies and gentlemen, and I want to thank her for her participation. The phone lines will be open for the second hour. So anybody wishing to call into the French Connection, please do, including my friend from Sweden or anybody else out there listening live to this broadcast. And we are sad that Representative Finn...